Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Monday class, October 28, 2024. Joel.
All right, just to get you up to speed here, the evangelism team will not be going to Child Haven this Saturday, the 2nd. We're not exactly sure what date it will be, but it won't be this Saturday, the 2nd. So I'm not even going to say possibly another one. It could be possibly a whole bunch of Saturdays. So anyway, I'll wait. Maybe tomorrow we'll know exactly when we can go there, but it won't be this Saturday. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. And in preparation to worship the Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation, USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible-teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This is an article by Tom Gilbreth. Spooks and specters, talking heads, and attack ads. Halloween and Election Day. We live in terrifying times, but we don't need to be terrified. God is, well, He has good here. In the Hebrew, it's tov, intrinsically good. And God still reigns. Not long ago on X, someone wrote that their work had become tedious. This person felt that the world was on the verge of something big. Perhaps something of biblical proportions. Next to that, the daily labor needed to put bread on the table felt inconsequential. The post resonated with large numbers of people. Many replied, same, or feel it too. Some were relieved to learn that they were not alone. One spoke of being crippled by overwhelming stress. Others couldn't enjoy life as they had in the past. They found it difficult to sleep. or just couldn't get over the jitters. The upcoming U.S. elections caused many of these fears. This was even true of people who don't live in the United States. Many felt overwhelmed by the suspense of who might win or what it would mean if their side lost. For still others, the feeling was about something bigger than an election. So much has gone horribly wrong in America and elsewhere. They felt that a reckoning was imminent. The election certainly looms over most people's thoughts these days. Both sides agree that the America that we have known is at stake. We always hear that this is the most important election ever. This time, they may be right. So vote. But the political issues of our day are only symptoms. Symptoms of a far bigger and deeper problem in America. Romans 1, 18 to 32 tells the story of a nation in moral freefall. It starts with rejection of God. Verses 21 and 22 explain the result of that rejection. People become futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened, and professing to be wise, they became fools. Verse 28 says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. The King James Version says, reprobate mind. The New American Standard Version says, depraved mind. Most of us who are Christians lead pretty sheltered lives. Only occasionally do we get a glimpse of just how horrible things have become outside of our neighborhoods or beyond the doors of our churches. But those glimpses of depravity are enough. Should we hide in fear? Will it help to rage against those leading our country toward cultural suicide? No. We respond to society's sickness by lovingly presenting God's cure for the problem. That lovingly presenting God's cure is you as a believer having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And that problem is sin. 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that it worked for you. It still works today. We can speak the gospel in bold confidence, knowing that we have what the world needs. Vote, but don't fear. Election outcomes do not diminish God's power, God's love, or God's care. Don't let fear-mongering political ads make you afraid. The Bible teaches us to be good citizens, and that means we do have a responsibility to vote, but we are also citizens of God's kingdom, something that earthly elections cannot change. As a Christian, you represent the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel. We are royal ambassadors for Christ, representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And that's what the world needs. So in this season, when evil is often glorified, follow Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12. We're almost there. We're Romans 8 on Sunday morning. We'll be in Romans 12. Well, if we don't get to it before the rapture, I will teach it after the rapture. So you got it? And I think the rapture's close. But nobody knows exactly when it will take place. Well, we're in the last paragraph of the book of Joel. Joel chapter 3, verses 18 to 21. And this last paragraph of Joel 3 outlines the peace and the blessing which Israel will experience when the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns at the second advent and establishes His kingdom on earth. The last dispensation of human history, the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ. And we have exegeted Joel 3:18, so it sounds like this. And it will come about in that day, the day of Messiah's reign on the earth, the 1,000-year millennial kingdom, that the mountains will keep on dripping new wine, and the hills will keep on flowing with milk. There will be great, great economic prosperity. And all the riverbeds of Judah will keep on flowing with water. And a spring will keep on going out from the house of the Lord, and it will keep on irrigating and watering the Valley of the Acacias. Now we are in the process of summarizing verse 18. First of all, there will be great economic prosperity and productivity during the millennial kingdom. Nobody will be hungry. And there will be great prosperity. Nobody will be hungry. God will provide all the food and water and prosperity of the millennial kingdom. God gave this land to Israel on both the Abrahamic and the Palestinian covenants. God gave the land what we see today and call Israel. That's not what God has given to them. We study Genesis 15, 18 to 21, Genesis 17, 7 and 8, and the nation Israel, the land that God gave to the Jewish people goes all the way up to the nation of Turkey, all the way down to the Nile River in Egypt, and all the way over to the Euphrates River. Iraq and Iran. That is Israel. That belongs to Israel. Not this little tiny place that they're living in right now. When Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent, they will have all the land that God gave to the Jewish people, to Israel. And So all this fighting is going on. All the people living, the Palestinians living in Gaza, the people up in Hezbollah, north of the little, what's left there of Israel, the Iranians, the Iraqis, all of these, the land doesn't belong to them. God didn't give them to them. God gave this land to Israel, to the Jewish people. So God gave the land, this land, to Israel as an everlasting possession in an unconditional, eternal covenant. Specifically, two of the four unconditional covenants, and that is the Palestinian covenant and the Abrahamic covenant. When the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns at the second advent, he will re-divide the land among the redeemed of Israel. And that's Ezekiel 48, verses 1 to 7, and Ezekiel 48, verses 23 to 27. And there will also be a 34 square mile middle section set aside for the priests, the Levites, the Zadokites. You haven't heard too much of the Zadokites. The Zadokites are going to be the priests serving in the millennial kingdom. The Levites are demoted. The Zadokites are promoted. So we have the Levites, the Zadokites, the temple, and of course the Lord Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 48, 8 to 22. And then we studied point 5 in the summary. Many topographical changes will take place in the land during this time. Now, we have studied so far three of these topographical changes that will take place in the millennial kingdom. First of all, when the Lord sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, there will be a huge earthquake forming a huge valley east of Jerusalem. That's Zechariah 14, 4 and 5. Secondly, the land will be transformed like the Arabah, Zechariah 14, verse 10. Now that phrase, like the Arabah, refers to the low plain stretching from below Mount Hermon, down the Jordan River Valley, and the Dead Sea on the Gulf of Aqaba. This will help make Jerusalem more prominent as the capital city of the great King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Arabah is a geographical name for the plain that stretches from the Sea of Galilee through the Jordan Valley to the Dead Sea, which is an area ranging from 650 to 1,300 feet below sea level. Zechariah uses this comparison to show how the land will be depressed into a great plain stretching from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. Again, that's in Zechariah 14:10. Now, subpoint three, the spotlight will be placed on Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be lifted up. Jerusalem will be elevated. Spotlight on Jerusalem and enlarged to give it an exalted position, since Jerusalem will become the geographical center of the earth during the millennial kingdom. Now, we had those three topographical changes that will take place. Now, we continue on. The fourth one. There, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, will place the millennial temple and his throne. It is there that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, will place the millennial temple and his throne. Let's turn over first of all to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah 3, verse 17. At that time they will call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations all around planet Earth will gather in Jerusalem to honor the name of the Lord. No longer will they follow the stubbornness of their evil hearts. So, nations all around planet Earth will come to Jerusalem. Turn over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 43. Ezekiel 43. And if you have a Ryrie Study Bible, he has some great notes. And this section, Ezekiel 43, 1 to 12, he says, the return of the glory of the Lord. And then the man brought me to the gate facing east, and I saw the glory of the God of Israel coming from the east. His voice was like the roar of rushing waters, and the land was radiant with his glory. The vision I saw was like the vision I had seen when he came to destroy the city, and like the visions I had seen by the Kibar River, and I fell face down. The glory of the Lord entered the temple, the millennial temple, through the gate facing east. And then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. While the man was standing beside me, I heard someone speaking to me from inside the temple. He said, Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place for the soles of my feet. This is where I will live among the Israelites forever. The house of Israel will never again defile my holy name, neither they nor their kings by their prostitution and the lifeless idols of their kings at their high places. So there the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, will place the millennial temple and his throne. Subpoint 5. The house of the Lord has a perennial river flowing from it, which will water the valley of the acacias. You have the word shittim. Shittim is acacias. So the house of the Lord has a perennial river flowing from it, which will water the valley of the acacias before emptying into the Mediterranean Sea and the Dead Sea. Our verse, Joel 3:18, teaches this. And then Zechariah 14. So turn over to Zechariah 14. And that's our next Old Testament book. Zechariah. Joel is awesome and great. But Zechariah, well, we had 3 great chapters in Joel. We got 14 in Zechariah. Zechariah 14. verse 8. On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half to the eastern sea, the Dead Sea, and half to the western sea, the Mediterranean Sea, in summer and in winter. So the house of the Lord has a perennial river flowing from it, which will water the valley of the acacias before emptying into the Mediterranean Sea and the Dead Sea. So the valley of Shittim, the valley of the acacias, is a barren area of Jordan just above the Dead Sea. It is the last place Israel camped east of Jordan before they entered the land of Canaan, Joshua 3, verse 1. Subpoint 6. This river flowing from the house of the Lord will water the Judean wilderness. This river flowing from the house of the Lord will water the Judean wilderness. Turn over to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. And again, Ryrie Study Bible says, Isaiah 35, 1 to 10, we have the kingdom and its blessings. Isaiah 35, the start of verse 1. The desert and the parched land will be glad. You ever seen a sad desert? This is happy. This is happy, happy. The desert and the parched land will be happy. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. Now, what's a crocus? You know what croak is. How many of you know what crocus is? It's iris. Iris. Like iris. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. Excuse me. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to deliver you. And then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. Isaiah 35, 1 to 7. The seventh topographical change. There will also be heavy and timely rainfall. We haven't had rainfall around here for so long. Don't even know what rainfall is. Now, just the opposite. My brother Don lives in Seattle. It never stops raining in Seattle. They got 3 inches of rain yesterday. 3 inches in one day. And it goes on and on and on. All they have is clouds and rain, clouds and rain, clouds and rain. And you know, they have this saying, the bluest skies I've ever seen are in Seattle. Well, they never see the sky. So when the clouds go away, oh my gosh, they go hide. The sun comes out. What the hell is that? The big thing in the sky. The sun. Now, just the opposite. Down here, we got that big thing in the sky, sun, all the time. We haven't had rain for so long, but in the millennial kingdom, rain. So there will also be heavy and timely rainfall. Look, turn over to Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30, verse 23. He will also send you rain for the seed you sow in the ground, and the food that comes from the land will be rich and plentiful. In that day your cattle will graze in broad meadows. The oxen and donkeys that work the soil will eat fodder and mash spread out with fork and shovel. And then I turn over to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, verse 26. I will bless them and the places surrounding my hill. I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessing. Eighth topographical change. This will result in the desolate lands blossoming like a crocus, iris. We already saw that, Isaiah 35, verse 1. This will result in the desolate lands blossoming like the crocus or iris, Isaiah 35, 1. We saw that. Ninth, the desert will bloom forth in dense foliage like Lebanon, Mount Carmel, and the coastal plains of Sharon. And that's Isaiah 35, 2, and we saw that as well. The desert will bloom forth in dense foliage like Lebanon, Mount Carmel, and the coastal plains of Sharon. All right. Now, worship in the millennium. Worship in the millennium. It's going to be totally unique. Worship in the millennium. See, the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father in the church age. This is a very unique dispensation we're living in. But in the millennial kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ is ruling planet Earth. And there is going to be worship in the millennial kingdom. So let's take a look at that. One, a fourth temple will be constructed in the millennium, which is commonly called millennial temple. A fourth temple will be constructed in the millennium, which is commonly called the millennial temple. And this is presented in great detail in Ezekiel chapter 40, chapter 41, and chapter 42, those three chapters. The millennial temple. And I'm not going to go through those three chapters, but you do that on your own and get back home. Point two, the Lord will return through the east gate of this temple, and we already saw that in Ezekiel 43, 1 through 5. The Lord will return through the east gate of this millennial temple, Ezekiel 43, 1 to 5. We already saw that. Point three. During the millennium, worship will be reestablished on the Sabbath, and animal sacrifice will once again be offered in the new temple. So during the millennium, worship will be reestablished on the Sabbath, and there will be animal sacrifices offered in the new temple, and that's Ezekiel chapter 46. And you, and there's a question, why will animal sacrifices be offered in the millennium since the Lord has once and for all obtained eternal redemption by his saving work on the cross? That's a good question. We're going to look at that in a moment, but not right now. So in the millennial kingdom, there will be once again specialized priesthood. I guess we just had point three. During the millennium, worship will be reestablished on the Sabbath, and animal sacrifice will once again be offered in the new temple. Now, point four. In the millennium, there will once again be a specialized priesthood. But it's not going to be, the Levites are going to be demoted. And there's a branch of the Levites called the Zadokites. And the Zadokites will be promoted. So the Levites demoted, the Zadokites promoted, and the Zadokites are going to be the key in this specialized priesthood. So in the millennial kingdom, there will once again be a specialized priesthood. Now we're going to amplify point four with eight subpoints. We're going to amplify point four with eight subpoints, and when we finish the eight subpoints, we'll be back in to point five, okay? All right. So in the millennial kingdom, there will once again be a specialized priesthood. Subpoint one. This specialized priesthood will be made up of both Levites and Zadokites. And the Zadokites are a branch of the Levitical line. So this specialized priesthood will be made up of both Levites and Zadokites, Zadokites being a branch of the Levitical line. Subpoint two. In the millennial kingdom, the Levites are demoted from ministers to servants. They are demoted from ministers to servants. And this is because of their reversionism. Before Israel's fall to Babylon, their position will be downgraded in the millennial temple. They will be allowed to serve as gatekeepers and slayers of the sacrifices and to help the worshipers. However, they will not be allowed to serve the Lord as priests, nor come near any of the holy artifacts or the holy of holies, holy place. Subpoint three. This is in contrast to their function and duties when they in the age of Israel. In the age of Israel, they were the priests that served in the holy place and the holy of holies. So this is in contrast to their function in the age of Israel, and that's in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 4, and 1 Chronicles 23, verses 28 to 32. Subpoint 4, the Zadokites are a branch of the priestly line. And they will be the key as the priests in the millennial kingdom. Five, Zadok was appointed chief priest during Solomon's reign. He was appointed chief priest during Solomon's reign. Six, Zadok faithfully supported Solomon as king. And they served with virtue and honor. Zadok faithfully supported Solomon as king. 1 Kings 1, 32 to 35. 1 Kings 2, 26 and 27. 1 Kings 2, verse 35. And though the people of Israel were living in reversionism, in degeneracy, the priests in Zadok's line remained faithful to God. So while the people in Israel at that time were in reversionism, in degeneracy, the priests in Zadok's line remained faithful to God. So in the millennial kingdom, they will be restored to their position of honor. Subpoint 7. They are the ones who will offer the sacrifices, and they alone are allowed to enter the sanctuary and minister there. So they are the ones to offer the sacrifices, and they alone are to enter the sanctuary and minister there. Turn over to Ezekiel 44. Ezekiel 44. Ezekiel 44, starting at verse 15. But the priests who are Levites and descendants of Zadok. So the Zadokites are a branch of the Levitical line. And descendants of Zadok, and who faithfully carried out the duties of my sanctuary when the Israelites went astray from me, reversionism, they are to come near to minister before me. They are to stand before me to offer sacrifices of fat and blood, declares the sovereign Lord. They alone, the Zadokites, they alone are to enter my sanctuary. They alone are to come near my table to minister before me and perform my service. So the Zadokites are to offer the sacrifices, and they alone are to enter the sanctuary and minister there. Ezekiel 44, 15 and 16. Subpoint 8. In the millennial kingdom, these priests will serve as mediators between Israel and her God in much the same way as the priests in the age of Israel did. So in the millennium, these priests will serve as mediators between Israel and her God in much the same way as the priests in the age of Israel did. Now the question, why will animal sacrifices be offered in the millennial kingdom since the Lord has once and for all obtained eternal redemption through his saving work on the cross? Well, that's a good question. So, answer. These millennial sacrifices cannot be efficacious. The blood of bulls and goats are never take away sin. So, in the millennium, these sacrifices will be memorial offerings. In the millennium, these sacrifices will be memorial offering. And you understand this. This is similar to the communion service that we have today in the church age. The communion service is a memorial. So the millennial sacrifices will serve as a similar purpose as the communion service does for us today in the church age. They will be presented in remembrance of Christ's salvation work on the cross. So, in the millennium, do this in remembrance of me. All right. So that was all underneath point four, but I told you we were going to go pick it up. Now point five. In the millennial kingdom, the Jews will be called the ministers of our God. In other words, in the millennial kingdom, Israel will become a nation of priests. The remnant of Jewish believers will function as spiritual leaders under the Lord's direction. And that's Isaiah 61, verse 6. So in the millennial kingdom, the Jews will be called the ministers of our God. Isaiah 61, 6, they will become a nation of priests. The remnant of Jewish believers will function as spiritual leaders under the Lord's direction. Point six. It will be their ministry to proclaim the Messiah's glory among the nations. They're a nation that have responsibility of evangelizing the whole world. Isaiah 66, verses 18 and 19. So let's turn over to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, 18 and 19, verse 18. And I, because of their actions and their imaginations, am about to come and gather all nations and tongues, and they will come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them, and I will send some of those who survive to the nations, to Tarshish, to the Libyans and the Lydians, famous as archers, to Tubal and Greece, and to the distant islands that have not heard of my fame or seen my glory. And they will proclaim my glory among the nations. So it will be their ministry to proclaim the Messiah's glory among the nations. Seven. And that means that Israel will once again be the missionary agency for the world in the millennial kingdom. That means that Israel will once again be the missionary agency for the world in the millennial kingdom. Eight. In that day, men of all languages and nations will grab hold of a Jew desiring to be taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. In that day, men of all languages and all nations will grab a hold of a Jew. The Jews are now the missionary agency for the whole world, desiring to be taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's in Zechariah chapter 8. So turn over to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 8. See, all of these are previews of coming attractions. Zechariah 8, start at verse 20. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Many peoples and the inhabitants of many cities will yet come. And the inhabitants of one city will go to another and say, let us go at once to entreat the Lord and seek the Lord Almighty. I myself am going, and many peoples and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord Almighty and to entreat Him. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 men from all languages and all nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you, because we have heard that God is with you. And they will head to Jerusalem. Bible conferences during the millennium, fantastic Bible conferences from all around the world. They're going to go to Jerusalem for the best Bible conferences ever. Zechariah 8:20-23. 9. In the millennial kingdom, the survivors from all the nations will make a yearly pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the purpose of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ and keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. In the millennial kingdom, the survivors from all the nations will make a yearly pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the purpose of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ and keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. Zechariah 14, verse 16. Zechariah 14, verse 16. Then the survivors from all the nations, this is the remnant of Gentile believers who survived the tribulation, then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Point 10. Those who refuse to come to Jerusalem to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, they will have no reign. They will have no reign. And that's verse 17. If any of the peoples of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, they will have no reign. Point 11. If the Egyptians do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, they will not only have no rain, but they will also suffer plagues. If the Egyptians do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, they will not only have no rain, but they will also suffer plagues. And that's verses 18 and 19. Verse 18. If the Egyptian people do not go up and take part, they will have no rain, and the Lord will bring on them the plague He inflicts on the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. This will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all those nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. All right. So any nation that does not come up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord Jesus Christ will suffer drought, no rain, and Egypt will suffer a plague. Point 12. Like Israel, The church will be made a kingdom of priests. In the millennial kingdom, the church. Now, we're removed at the rapture, so we won't be going through the tribulation period. But we come back with Christ at the second advent, and we're in the millennial kingdom. We come back with Christ, and we're in the kingdom in our resurrection body. And so, like Israel, the church will be made a kingdom of priests. And this is Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. And that's a book I haven't taught yet, but I held off and held off because there are people who they'll come to Revelation class when they won't come to anything else. You know, they kind of get wide-eyed. So I kind of held off on this. And Revelation chapter 1. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. 13. And winner church age believers, winner church age believers will be given authority to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ and will have authority to rule over the nations. Winner church age believers will be given authority to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ and have authority over the nations. Revelation chapter 2, Revelation 2, verse 26. Revelation 2, 26. Revelation 2, 26. To the winner believer, ha nikon. You might have to the one who overcomes. Nikao is to be a winner, the victor, to the winner believer who does my will to the end. I will give authority to him over the nations. He will have authority over the nations, the winner believer. So that's a special blessing for the winner believer. You not only receive fantastic crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ following the rapture, but there are blessings that will occur when we return with Christ at the second advent in our resurrection bodies, and that is you will be given authority by Jesus Christ to rule over the nations or cities. And there's in the New Testament, both in Matthew and in Luke, it talks about cities. Now, so you might rule over a city, you might rule over a nation. Some of you might get to rule over Pioche. See, not big, but you're qualified for Pioche. See, so we're just getting started. But there's so many fantastic doctrines here and principles, and I don't want to miss out on any of these. I don't want you to miss out. So we'll pick it up here next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.